If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm 1. And we're going to stay in Psalm 1, at least for a little bit. We talked some last week about attitudes and behaviors when a new year comes around. And I was thinking about it. I do pretty well with New Year's and the idea of now we're going to get some stuff done. I like getting stuff done. Not that I'm saying I'm always tremendously motivated, but when I decide I'm going to get something done, I usually come at it with the idea of let's get this taken care of so I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't know if any of you have that type of mindset where I'm going to take care of that and knock it out of the way so I can get on to the next thing. And sometimes that attitude can lead to trying to do a little too much, maybe falling into the trap of busyness. You ever feel like you haven't taken the time to slow down in a while? And the temptation is only to speed up. As we come to a new year, I'm trying to figure out a plan for the direction for our classes and for sermons and things to do as a congregation. I was talking with Rachel, the downside of wrapping everything up in a nice and tidy way at the end of a year means you've got to have a bunch of new beginnings when you start the new year. So, you know, Wednesdays we finished up our art series. We got to do something else. When we finished up the we did Fruits of the Spirit and we did Revelation, the small R, at the end of last year. And I've been thinking the last few weeks, what's the next big thing? What's the new thing to do? And I came up with all these different ideas for just bigger and bigger things and how we're gonna go through all kinds of lists. And I don't know if that's the best thing. Because sometimes it's easy to get focused on working our way through a list and getting to the next thing. And I don't know if that's always good for us. So I'm going to try to slow down a little bit and not move on so quickly from a text or an idea. It's really easy to say, we're going to look at this book. Here's an idea. 20 minutes later, we can move on to another book. Well, you know what? As we see in our classes sometimes, there's a lot of material that we can find in one text. So we're going to try to find ourselves planted for a little bit. Look at a text or an idea and stay there as long as there's still something to be found. So let's look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is about how to be happy. Maybe the first word you have there is blessed. I hope you don't read it as blessed. That's one of my pet peeves. I've shared that. People don't say blessed unless they're looking in their Bible. So let's just say blessed. When it starts off a statement like this, blessed is or blessed are, which is still a little bit of church talk, because normally you turn around and say, never mind. When you see blessed is or blessed are, another way of translating that is happy or content. Or this idea of, when you start off with that word, it says, we're about to give you a picture of what you should want to be. That's what's happening at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what's happening at the very beginning of this very large book of Psalms. So, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And this is the way that this very large book of Psalms, which as we know was a book of worship used at the temple, used in synagogues, this is used for worship in Israel, this is how it begins. It says, are you looking to find the way to be happy, to be what God wants you to be? This is not a psalm about doing stuff. This isn't a to-do list. This isn't a go out and accomplish everything. There are good texts for that. And we want to be motivated. But this starts off with, let's find ourselves planted. I want to focus on verse 3 this morning. And this image of the tree planted by streams of water. It said, if you want to look like what God's people ought to look like, it says, be like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Everybody can picture a tree, right? Picture this tree planted next to a stream of water. Now, your picture may not look exactly like everybody else's in the room, but I think we generally have tree and water and can draw from that. All right. Think about what a successful tree does. Right? We have models for success. We have what a successful architect does and a successful banker. What does a successful tree do? It grows. Like the psalm says, it produces fruit. Maybe you say it expands its roots. It survives. I spent a while thinking about this verse and thinking about trees. It was a little weird. But the more I thought about this image, the more I can appreciate what this says about what it means to be the people of God. What it means to be planted. Now think about growth of a tree. That's the first thing I thought of. What does a successful tree do? A tree grows in several different directions. It gets taller. Branches get spread out. Trunk gets bigger. I'm remembering something I was going to bring with me. It's in the back of the van right now. It's okay. It's one of those things you can picture. Picture a cross-cut section of a tree. I'm sure you've seen that, right? Count the rings, right? Or image that comes to my mind, and Jane, you probably remember this. In the basement of the camp, there used to be a big cross-section of a tree. Remember that? Does that still around somewhere? Do you know? Okay. I was thinking about it. Like, I haven't seen that cross-section of a tree in a long time. I was showing its age, but that's probably why I got taken down. But cross-section of a tree, and there are markers put on different spots about what you could learn about the life of that tree by looking at the rings. Of course, we know every ring is another year, right? So we can count those. I remember there being marks of, you know, here must have been a dry season. Here must have been some damage done to the tree. Here might have been a fire. You can learn a lot about the life of a tree by looking at that growth, looking at that, how it grows outward. And if you think about all those types of events, those are types of events that kill a lesser plant. Right? That great big tree, eventually, obviously it came down, otherwise it wouldn't have had the cross-section of the tree. But it's pretty incredible to look at all the things that it survived. Compare that to the plants in your garden. What happens if we get a frost? Or it says there's going to be a frost tonight. Get the blankets, get the buckets, get the tomatoes will not survive this, right? Because it got a little cold overnight. Or if it gets dry, what happens to our yards? You know, if we go a few weeks without rain, we get brown yards. The trees, they're doing okay, right? Think about the difference between the tree planted by the streams of water and the plant in Jonah chapter 4. You remember that last chapter of Jonah? It doesn't get talked about nearly enough because there's no giant fish and there's no city of wicked people. But after Jonah goes into Nineveh, he goes out into the wilderness to watch it be destroyed. Didn't happen, and he got very hot, and what happened? So overnight, a plant grew up, gave him some shade. He was happy. The next night, a worm came by and chewed on it, and it died, and he was very angry. As he's complaining, part of God's response to him was that plant sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. That's very different than the tree planted by streams of water. Now, whatever tree you're thinking of, whatever tree you had pictured in your head, how long do you think that tree took to look like the way it does in your head? It didn't happen overnight. Those rings, see, it's bigger and bigger and bigger. It takes time. It's slow, but dependable as long as it's being fed. It's not going to be like that plant that sprouts up overnight. Because you know what happens when things that sprout up overnight? They very often disappear just the same. We are not called to be quick sprouting plants, giving shade for a day and then being done. said, if we want to look at what the life as a Christian, life as people of God, says, it means you find a source of life. Find a stream. You get planted there and you continue to grow. And you get bigger and you get taller and you reach out and you build yourself to where you can weather those storms. We're a dry season when it happens. We know it's not an if. When a dry season happens, we can keep going. When something comes by and causes damage, somebody carves initials in you, or an animal scrapes your bark off, rubbing on the side. Okay, this metaphor is getting a little weird. But when problems happen, we can keep going. We can keep growing. We don't fold and fall away because we know that this is something that is that's going to take time. That we ought to be planted and draw our life from the source. Because as we grow, then we can begin to the next part of what a healthy sickle tree does. The psalm says, yields its fruit in season. Sometimes we get frustrated with the last two words there, in season. Right? We are used to saying, there is food that I want it now, I'm going to be able to find it. Trees and plants don't always work on our schedule, right? Now, I was thinking about this last week. I was make some dinner. I thought, but some asparagus would be good for this. And then I quickly remembered, well, that's not going to work today. It's not the season, right? Some things we have to get when they're in season. Some things we have to wait for. We can't always go get anything we want at any time. One of the favorite things in our family is favorite fruit is nectarines. And we find out you can't get those in a very big window. And I honestly couldn't tell you exactly when nectarines and peaches grow. I probably should be able to. But I know how I feel when I walk in to Meijer, sometimes Carter, usually this happens more in Meijer, and they've got the peaches and the nectarines out front. You walk in, and that smell. And I know what I'm spending some money on that day. And for the next couple weeks, because I know the boys are going to be going through those nectarines. It's like a peach and an apple. Yeah, I know. Eat it. There is an aspect of patience. There is an aspect of understanding that producing fruit in its season means there's going to be a season where we're waiting, or we're waiting for it to grow. Some trees take a while to even produce fruit. Did you know that one of the food laws, or some of the food laws, in the Old Testament say not to eat fruit until a tree has been a certain number of years. Well, some trees take years to produce. That's that growth that we're talking about. But what a special thing when it's in season. When we have taken the nutrients in. When we're able to produce that fruit, it does a lot of good things. I don't know what kind of tree you were picturing. I don't know if it was a fruit tree or not. Picture a fruit tree now. Whether you're changing it or not. This is a nice thing about not having pictures. It's in your head. Fruit tree. Nectarines, apples, lemons, whatever you like. Got it? All right, we're off and running. All right. What is the purpose of growing fruit on a tree. It does two things, at least. We're in broad strokes. Two things. It's going to feed others, or it's going to cause new growth. Right? Because what's a fruit? It's a collection of seeds, right? Of course, you get into all those arguments of it. Is this a fruit? Is this a vegetable? Is it botanically? Botanically, a fruit is an enlarged plant ovary containing seeds. Did I get that right? All right. So that's why the tomato and the cucumber and lots of other things are technically fruits. But we don't need to fight about that. It had seeds in it. And growing around it is something that is often tasty. Sometimes it just gets eaten. Sometimes it just falls. Sometimes it gets eaten and carried and dropped. And that fruit just accomplished both goals, right? It fed something, and it took the seeds somewhere else so another tree can grow over there. The sweetness of the fruit encourages others to take it and spread it. An animal wanting to eat that fruit benefits the animal and the tree. Nourishment and spreading. A whole forest could be grown, or a grove or an orchard could be grown from one tree. Right? We just keep spreading and spreading and spreading. Now, I don't know how often we think about the fruit and the seeds together and the benefit to all of it being eaten. But think about if the fruit just drops, it's hard to grow. It's hard to grow right underneath the shade of the tree because the things that a tree needs. It's hard to get the light, maybe the water doesn't get down. But if it's carried away, then there's benefit. Think about somebody like Jerry Tallman, who I would say would be a very tall tree in the church, especially in Michigan. In a couple days, we'll be remembering Jerry's life. And as I was putting this together and thinking about the imagery of this imagery of the tree and the fruit and spreading, I thought of Jerry. I don't know how many of you crossed paths with him or knew Jerry. Jerry was very, very good at one thing in particular. He taught evangelism. When he was a minister at Rochester, he would talk about, he would encourage evangelism, encourage people to go teach. And then when he retired, he really went to work. He and Connie would travel all over the place doing evangelism workshops. We've got some copies of evangelism books by Jerry Tallman downstairs in our library. He went around teaching people to teach people. Think of the tree. I have made this fruit. I can't eat it. I'm a tree. I don't eat fruit. Take it with you. Find something to do with it. Yeah, take a bite. Take a bite. We'll see. Oh, look, it's thrown over there. We don't have to go and do everything. We don't have to be the ones to go and teach every person in the world. But you know what? We can help ourselves to grow enough that we can pass on some tools. We can pass on some gifts and some information and say, go, take this, teach this, make it spread. Healthy tree grows. Healthy tree produces fruit. And finally, I would say a healthy tree expands its roots. Maybe that goes along with growth. But normally when we think of growth, we think of the stuff we can see. Branches get bigger, trunk gets wider, tree gets taller. And maybe the part we shouldn't miss is the part that we can't see. A healthy tree reaches down and out. And it's a very personal thing. And it's not seen by others. And it's not the desirable thing. We don't plant, we plant a tree or hoping to get the fruit or the shade. But if those roots don't grow, we aren't going to get the things that we're looking for. The roots provide stability. They provide durability. They don't get the praise, but they are perhaps more important. The roots make sure that the things we are trying to do can prosper. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be among the blessed? Do you want to know what it looks like to be one of God's people? We can do worse than to find ourselves planted. It's really easy to find lesson plans about making ourselves busy. And I don't know exactly where every direction this year is going to go, but one of my goals is to spend a little more time planted, to work on the roots, to work on the growth, to make it so that when the season comes, we are ready to produce. So next week, we're going to be in Psalm 1, and we're going to look at some other aspects of it. Maybe just next week, maybe another week as well. I don't know. But I know I often fall into the trap of trying to do more and trying to move on to the next thing. And we're going to try to listen. Try to stay planted. And you know what we're looking at next week. You can take the time to read Psalm 1. It's not a long one. But that's all for this morning. I don't know if this image of the tree means as much to you as it has for me. I've spent this week with it. But I think a nice metaphor is... works because it's something that we know. And I think we all know enough about a tree to appreciate this image. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. If there's anything you need this morning, please let us know. We're not going anywhere. If you need us to be here, please come forward as we stand and sing.